that modern yet, where I use tablets yet. But the day, I'll put that in the day, I think. I think it's good to see somebody from my old workplace, I think it is. And I think his name is, it's Mike Dilley, isn't it? Now, I was sitting over there, and my mind was going, I know that man, I know that man. And he came over, and he looked at me over there, and then he sat down, and he waved, and we're getting older, ain't we, brother? But anyway, beside that, glad that you're here. The Nillis is here. Miss Kelly's here. We just thank you all for being here that could be here. But the title of my message, just to get on the Lord's work, is we need to be God chasers. Amen? And before we do, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you and praise your name today. And as the brother said, Brother Penn has already said, Lord, that we're busy and we're busy people. And Lord, our lives should be centered around you, but sometimes we get out of balance. Where we're trying to work you in rather than you ought to be involved in everything. And Lord, help this sermon tonight and help this, our people, to run hard after thee. And Lord, to chase thee with all their soul, heart and soul and mind. Lord, we just ask that you just alleviate things that are maybe going on, as Brother Penn said, in their lives, that they may open their hearts to receive your word. Now lead and guide. In Christ's name we pray, and we are nothing without you. Amen. And God's people said, amen. And there's a lot of things that we run after in life. Penny and I used to run after Javen a lot. And I know this young couple here, you got some kids, don't you? And do you do a lot of running after them? Or you got her trained where she runs for you? Oh, both ways. Okay, that's all right. But we do a lot of running. Amen, and we do a lot of running. Some of us are running still after careers. Some of us are hopefully not running after the mighty dollar. Some of us run after sports. Many times we run after a lot of good things, and we find out when we run after them, once we get them, we're not happy with them. Amen? My deacon up north in northern Indiana, he one day wanted to buy a new tractor. And his tractor was chunking out on him. He kept on telling me for a few weeks there, I'm going to buy me a new tractor, buy me a new tractor. And he got him a new tractor. He was satisfied with that tractor. And all of a sudden, they came out with a zero turn. He came and talked to me. He said, I'm so sad that I bought the tractor that I bought. I said, I thought you wanted that tractor. You were running after to get that tractor. Everything you talked about was about that tractor for about a couple weeks before you bought it. But yeah, man, but they come out with a zero turn. And you know, you can go around things, and I just don't feel like I'm satisfied. So you run after things in your life, and you think you're going to be satisfied when you're running after them, and you find out it's not what you bargained for. Some of you might right now be thinking, you know, I've worked hard all year. I've really put a lot of hours and a lot of overtime. You know what? I can't wait till I get my vacation. And then you go on vacation and you run yourself ragged. And you come back and you find out that your workplace is double the workload on you. And you go, oh man, why did I even take a vacation? Raise your hands, that ever happened. Amen. So I'm talking real life here, folks. Amen. So we find out that life is a rat race. And sometimes in that rat race, when we got so many things going and we've not slowed down for the Lord, we're running, we're eating fast, we're living fast, and I'm living in the fast lane. And what happens is we start letting our environment and our obligations control us, and they rule us. And I want to say here right now, quit letting the world dictate your life. Start living or reliving your life in God. And it's a very simple verse, and sometimes we forget it. But over there in Matthew 16:33, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God created us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. God truly knows what will make you happy. And look up in verse 31. It says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what withal shall we be clothed?
For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of these things. I mean, God's got it all figured out. Once you're saved, once you know Him and truly know Him, you just got to keep Him first and living for Him first. But many people start running the rat race. And they lose that first appointment of serving God first in their life. I'm raising my family. Oh, that's a great purpose. I'm going to school. That's a great purpose. I'm getting my degree. That's a great purpose. But we've got to remember our main event of our life according to God. Number one is the opportunity for salvation. And once after salvation is to live your life in and through Him. So God's purpose is this, and it's summed up, and it's in a nutshell in Hebrews 11:6. It says, "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Okay, let's break that down. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. What is he? He's our Savior. He is our Lord. He is our Redeemer. He is our Master. So let's change that. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is our salvation. He is our Redeemer. He is our Lord. And that he is the rewarder. Let's change that. What is the rewarder? God's blessings will flow. You're in a relationship with God. There'll be spiritual blessings following God. There'll be physical blessings in following God. God's always a giver. He is a giver. And he does take away, by the way, that song. But he is the giver. So let's change that. For he that cometh to God, that someone that believes in him, believes that he is, he's our salvation, he's our Redeemer, he's our Savior, and that he is the rewarder, or the rewarder of God's physical blessings and God's physical blessings of them that diligently. And circle that in your Bible if you've got your Bibles. But diligently means truly seek him. Means earnestly seek him. Means sternly seek him. Means continuously seek him. Means to sincerely seek him. And I'm going to tell you, you don't seek him just one time at salvation. Amen? A lot of people, I've got saved, that's it. Diligently means it's a continual seeking. And it's a continual following. That's your purpose. A lot of people say, you know what? My purpose is to graduate from high school, and it is. My purpose is to get that job promotion. My purpose is getting an award. Javen was real happy when he got a reward one time. But your best reward is having a relationship with God. That's the greatest award that any person will ever, ever have. That's your first reward you ever get. What's it say in Romans chapter 10, verse 8? Doth thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth of confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So the first purpose in our life is to get saved, is to have the mark of salvation upon your heart and life. And it's the greatest reward. Don't you remember when you got saved, if you've been saved, guilt gone, shame gone, no oppression with God, no, just a true relationship with the Lord? Don't you remember that? You had a good conscience with God and you had good conscience with your fellow man. You forgive what everybody ever did to you. That is a wonderful feeling, a clear conscience between God and between man. And that sweet spirit. When I got saved, my attitude changed about a lot of things. And a sweet spirit came upon my heart and my life. And I treated my family different. And I treated my wife different. And I got rid of some old baggage that I had that's been brought down through the genes. And I see it coming in my grandson. Rhett, he's got it. I used to have a bad, bad anger problem. The other day I see my grandson. He was throwing some bean bags, and someone took one from him.
Don't talk about me, man. And I said, that boy needs to get saved. What happened? But it, that old nature, you can see it, that comes down through the bloodline. And God's filled that old nature. Now, don't get me wrong. When things go wrong and happens, I feel the old nature. You ever seen an old dog or something get mad and you see his back start to swell up a little bit and huff up like this? Well, I feel that. Sometimes I get mad, upset. I feel it coming. Ooh, it's coming up. Ooh. But I have the spiritual man that puts it back down. That lets me see through eyes clearly. But I'm going to tell you, your salvation is the greatest reward, because with that salvation also comes those fruits of the Spirit that he told you he'd give you, and it keeps your heart and mind in subjection. But I want you to know, if you don't have the gift of salvation, you've never received it, I want you to have it. And God will give it to you. If you say you're sorry, you repent of your sin, and run after God the rest of your life. Many of you have found the Lord. But you know what? Some of you have not allowed him to be first in your life. Maybe he was at one time, but he's not. And in doing so, you're chasing to this and that. Where's my joy? Where's my contentment? I'm either half full or half empty, but I'm never really filled up. Your personal relationship dies down. You do other things besides putting God first. First thing you should do, And I do it in a lazy way, and that's okay. First thing, I lay in the bed, and I say a prayer to the Lord to start my day before I get up. I don't care how you do it. You can do it a lazy man's way. You can get up and open your Bible. You can get up beside your bed. You can go to bed at night, however you do it. But I'm going to tell you, when you first start slacking off of putting God first, the first thing you do is check your Facebook in the morning. The first thing you do is read the newspaper in the morning. The first thing you do is turn on the news in the morning. The first thing you do is you look at the funnies in the morning. Or you read the obituaries before you head out to work. The first thing you do is should be following God. How many of you survive, and some of you do this? I'm running late for work. I don't got time. I got my orange juice there, and I got a biscuit. You take a bite of a biscuit, you take a drink of orange juice, and you run out the door, and you're at work. And you barely make it there. Amen? Brother Pinson, that's me, but I ain't telling anybody. Now, why do you do that? Not made enough time. You're not made enough preparation. You hurry up and get out of bed. You go to work. Your schedule's got to slow down. You're chasing the world. You're chasing the other things. You're chasing the Facebook. And you think you can chase God anytime you want to. I'm going to tell you, Christians are breaking up. Christian families I've seen going through divorces. And I want my family, I want my kids to live so close to the Lord. You have your kids saying, "Dad, we need to pray about this." Not dad initiating the prayer, but your son saying, "Dad, we really need to pray about this." Is there a family circle where they see mom and dad serving the Lord and putting him first over everything else, and where God's centered, which should be centered in that life? I'm going to tell you, we need a heartfelt salvation. We need to quit fooling ourselves and quit taking our salvation for granted. We got to put Christ in the center of our homes again and our families. I'm going to tell you that the devil is having a heyday with our homes and our families. There's people on alcohol and drugs and meth, and our children have got really, really rebellious. Raise your hand if you know somebody that's on alcohol or drugs, or they're rebellious in your family group. Raise your hand if you got somebody like that. Everybody here. Family units being destroyed because Christ isn't practiced in the home, in our families, in our relationships.
We come to church an hour and think we got it all. This is the feeling station. This is where we go, come get filled, and we go out and live it in our daily lives. We've got to put God back in the center of our homes. I've heard people say, Brother Tim, I got saved in 1956. I got saved in 76. I got saved with this. And they say, oh yeah, I'm heaven bound, amen. But I want you to know, you're heaven bound if you're following the Lord. Because over there in John, 1 John 2:15, the Bible says, if you love this world, the love of the Father is not in you. Now remember, Brother Tim didn't say that. Don't look at Brother Tim and say, I wish you didn't say that. And if the Holy Spirit's dealing with your heart about that, then you know what's real going on in your heart. Love not the world, neither the things of the world, or the love of the Father is not in you. He wants all of you, not part of you. Until He's got all of you, He don't got none of you. Amen? So, you can't let the world rob your spiritual appetites for the Lord. Has it? Coming this tonight, was you like, oh, I don't know if I want to go. I'm tired. Maybe I'll sleep Monday and go Tuesday, and that'll be okay. What are we letting dictate us? Our schedule dictated us. We're wore out. We're tired. We're beat down. You know why? We didn't put God first and serve Him first. See, you're going to have to make your mind up. Are you going to chase the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul? Are you going to halfway chase Him, and are you going to be bound to this world? Now, I've said this before in James 1, a double-minded man is unstable in all his way. And there's an illustration in the Bible just to look at this. Let's look at Matthew. Very short verse. Matthew 12:29. What does that say? Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except first bind the strong man and then he will spoil his house? Now, you ain't going to come down to Mississippi and mess with anybody's house. Most of the people down there in Mississippi are gun-toting, 12-gauge, 45 Magnum-toting people. And their protection is guns. They don't even lock their doors, many of them. They probably have a sign out front of their house saying, my house is protected by Smith & Wesson. And if you don't know what that is, lay, that's a gun, all right? But how can the devil come and surround your life, get you under control, if he doesn't come and bind you? And he never typically binds you straight on. And so there was a big man that came to church today, and I'm just going to use him. Tom, won't you stand up? Come on now. You didn't know. I know you're going to be embarrassed and everything else. Now he's a big man, isn't he? And I will. You're okay now. Don't sweat it. You're not going to take Tom down straight on. He's also a gun toter too, just to let you know. But you're not going to take Tom straight on. You're going to try to go around him. You're going to try to get on top of him, come down one way or the other, but you're not going to take him straight on. And that's how the devil gets us. He don't really come at us straight on. He comes on and gives us this distraction, this circumstance, this problem, this situation, and he tries to load us down with the cares of this life, and before long, we're bound. We're bound up before we even know it. And we find, I just can't serve God. I got this responsibility. And I can't serve God because I got doing this. I can't do this because I got to go to a graduation ceremony. And I can't go to this because I got to go to a birthday party. And I can't serve. You just get so bound up that you can't serve the Lord. And the Lord loves that. I mean, Satan loves that. Because what he wants to do to the Christian, he wants to destroy your testimony. He wants to destroy your purpose. He wants to destroy God's power in your life. He may not rob your salvation, but he will rob your purposeness. And it starts with one cord, one binding, and then the second, and then the third. First, you're dragging yourself to church.
Is the pastor going to sing that song again? He always sings that one. I'm tired of it. You're going to start. I'm just picking on you because I can. But anyway, and it's probably true. But anyway, as we look at this, you see what I'm saying? You start getting bound down where you can't even be fed by the Word of God. You're so bound down and wrapped up. When the Word of God goes out, it can't even preach into your heart. You're so bound down with the cares of this life and the problems, it can't penetrate your heart and soul. And the devil goes, I've got you. I've took away your effectiveness. You're so bogged down about your cares and your worries that you can't go out and witness to somebody else. You can't take the time for somebody else to talk to them. And it's so easy to get bound up in this world. How can one enter a strong man's house and spoil all his goods? Spoil your effectiveness for God. Spoil all that God has done. Your work, your accomplishment, your form momentum that you've done for God. Except he binds you and spoil his house. And basically the cares of this life can throw us off course and bind us so we're not effective for the God. And you'll forsake your obligations to follow him and pursue him. And you get to the point where you lose your first love. Revelation 2, 4. Nevertheless, I have someone against you because thou hast left your first love. A lot of times that starts happening by not going to church anymore. The Bible says not forsaking ourselves together. That is not a maybe. That is not a sometimes. That's a commandment. And we're not to break the Lord's commandments. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some. That's a commandment of the Lord. Starts there. Starts not obeying his commandments. He also said, he that is not with me is against me. And I always use this verse, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Man, we get so bound up with this. God's voice is calling, but I'm bound up. He wants me this, but I'm bound up. I bound my time up. I bound my purpose up. We need to be following. We need to be listening. We cannot neglect God. We need to be ready and serving. He's our commander-in-chief. And it's a wonderful thing. The little prayer service that you had just before the preaching hour. It's a wonderful thing. We need this. The church needs this. The collective body of believers comes together. By the way, the church is not the building. It's you. It's the people. And you come together and you ask for prayer of healing. You ask for somebody, God, to work in someone's heart. You come here and ask for traveling mercies. You hear the testimonies of salvation. You get to hear other people talking about the thanksgiving of the Lord and the thanks of the Lord. All those things are so important because it encourages someone else. God's working in his life. God's working in her life. God's real in their life. And when the unbelievers come in and someone knows, they hear that, they say, God is active. God is working. We see God working in the hearts of his people. And this is a wonderful thing. We need it. God's people need it. It's exciting to see God working in people's lives. And some say, well, I'm tired and I'm too busy. Who controls your time? Everybody go like this. Who controls your time? Take your finger like this. Kelly, do it better now. Up here. Okay. All right. Who controls your time? Up here like this? I do. I control my time. Now I'm going to use this big word on you, and you'll never say the word busy anymore, okay? Busy, acronym for busy. Ready? Brought under Satan's yoke. Oh, don't use the word busy anymore. See, brought under Satan's yoke. Serve God with a full heart. Love him with all your heart. Don't ever let the word busy come out of your mouth because you're not going to do it now. You're going to change it to something else. I'm preoccupied. You're not going to say busy because you ain't going to like that word anymore. Brought under Satan's
yoke. Wow. Lord Jesus Christ gave his heart for you. He gives his life for you. He doesn't work for you. He doesn't work for me. We live unto him and we serve him. Sometimes we got the cart before the horse. He doesn't work for me. I work for him. He bought me with a price. I'm his servant. And I love being his servant. He's far given me more than I've ever given him. Except my life and my sin is all I could give him. We work 168 hours a week. And we can't give 1 or 2 hours to the Lord. I'm going to say, don't let time bind us. Don't let busyness bind us. Don't let the hurt of the past bind you. Someone says, you know what? The pastor hurt me. Mm-hmm. Do you know what? Some of you might have hurt me. Is a pastor hurtable? Like, ow, I hurt. I squeezed myself. I hurt just like you do, okay? Pastor may hurt you. Some of you may have hurt me. A friend may have hurt you. A co-worker may have hurt you. Mike Dilley, you never hurt me, never caused me a problem. A husband may have hurt you. A wife may have hurt you. Maybe you're living in the loss of a husband that's passed on. A mother that's passed on. A brother that's passed on. You can't let those things bind you. The devil, you use the past to bind you, to make you ineffective. And what happens with that? When you get in a conversation, your mind goes to the past. You can't see the future because your mind keeps going to the past. Because you're trying to see the future, and the devil's trying to bind you, and what's he do? He brings you to the past. Binding pulls you away. Binding pulls you down. Binding keeps you from moving forward in the Lord. Keeps you from chasing God. We've got to chase God. Now, I'm one of those guys, I feel like this. I'm going to tell you something. It's hard to hit a moving target. I love Mississippi because we got back hills back there. We got shooting targets on trees. After church, we can just leave the church, wait an hour or two, everybody leaves and go back there and shoot guns. That's a fun thing, shoot guns. And I got pretty good shooting guns. Pew, pew, pew. Pretty good at the target. But there was something I never experienced before. Now, if you have a cat, just have mercy on me, okay? Okay, Vicky has a cat, so this is going to be trouble for her. All right? So anyway, what happened was that we had this cat getting in our garbage. And it was tearing it up. So I don't like this cat, okay? Don't like it. And I got gun, so remember that. So here we are. We were shooting. We got done all of this, and Javen, my son, and all of a sudden this cat came out. We have outhouses still in Mississippi. And down there in the hollow, there was an outhouse. And it's still usable and functional. But anyway, this black cat came out. I said, that's the cat. I had this 22 Marlin. I'll get him, Javen, I'll get him. Ping, 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 up, over, down, over. He said, you can't hit nothing. What's wrong with you, Dad? I said, here, you try. He went from that end of the woods to the other. Here's Javen. Ping, 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 ping. Can't hit it. Can't hit it. I'm going to tell you, it's easy to hit something that isn't moving, but something is moving. You can't, and you're up on a hill, so your judgment's messed up. Just dust balls going ping, 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 ping. The cat was having a good time. I wasn't. But the fact was, I'm going to tell you, you got to be chasing God. You got to be moving for God. And you got to cannot be a standing still target for the devil. Keep chasing God. Keep running after God. He can't catch you. You're too busy chasing God. Too busy following God. I'm going to tell you, if we let the world run us and all our obligations, we're just a doormat for the devil. He can bind us. He can bind us. So I'm asking the Lord tonight, And I've been praying about this. Whatever binds us, I want the Lord to loosen us. Whatever it might be, whatever the Holy Spirit's revealing to you right now, what's holding you back from giving your all to God? What is it? And I'm asking the Holy Spirit to do that right now. What's holding you back? Is it a past hurt, past remark, a fear of failure, a certain person? You know, some people are so funny. There could be a person that looks like me that did something really, really bad to somebody. And they see that person and go, I don't like that person. Well, why don't you like that person? Well, that reminds me of so-and-so that did this to me. Now, what kind of sense does that make? You know anybody like that? Heard anybody say anything like that? No, because you're the person. But anyway. What's holding you back from giving God your all? Just simple forgot? Just got too busy? I've been bound up and not realizing that it's been the devil really binding me up? I'm just asking the Lord to take the binds off, that you can run after, hard after Him. And Brother Russ had his prayer and his verse. He was getting really close on what I was going to end with tonight. So I know the Lord's in this. Psalm 63. David was having a tough time. He was kind of off the throne for a while. Absalom, his son, was taking over, and he was left to the wilderness. In Psalm 63, it says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there no water is, to see thy power and thy glory as I have seen it in thee in the sanctuary. Wow. Look what David said. He's in the wilderness. Some military men are after him. He has need of supplies and nourishment. He didn't ask for God, supply me some water, supply me some protection, supply me a place of shelter right there. He just said, Lord, all I want is thee. My soul thirsts after thee. Not even a cup of water did he ask for. In a parched and dry wilderness, he just said, Lord, I just thirst for thee. In a land where there's no water is. To see thy power. To see thy power in his life. To see the power in the temple at that time. To see his glory. And you know, that don't happen until you do what verse 8 says. My soul falleth hard after thee, and thy right hand upholdeth thee. Are you falling hard after the Lord? With all your heart and all your soul? Have you let some things in your life get you busied down? So busy that it robs you from the joy of serving. And once we talked about that, that you're serving out of duty and out of love, not serving to see what the kingdom work is going to do and see the multiplication of God's people in the church and see the power to witness in your life. I'm too busy to witness. I'm too busy to care about somebody else, and I can barely care about my own, and I can barely just drag myself to church on Sunday morning, and I'm not making enough way for the Lord. What's bound you? And I hope the Holy Spirit has revealed that to you. You know what's so great? After somebody has been bound and they've been chained and they've been locked down for such a long time and they're released,
when the ropes are released, when the old bondage is released, oh man, you've been set free. And you walk away just like how you was first saved, and get to start with a whole freshness and a whole newness of serving the Lord. What's got you bound? You know what it is. Because I know the Holy Spirit's revealed it to each and every one of us. And I know one thing too, you're not going to use that word busy anymore. Because that's going to make an imprint. Brought under Satan's yoke. Travis, won't you come? Now, it can just be the activities of life. It's just got you bound up. That's okay. It doesn't have to be some sin that's got you bound up, although it could be. And only you and the Lord knows that. But we got to get to a place where we follow hard after Him. That serving the Lord isn't a secondary, thirdary issue. That He's back in the center. And that's where you want Him anyway. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Travis says you lead in something. We're human. And the devil knows it. And he loves to attack the human side and the natural. That's where he can work, and that's where he can operate. I've said before, come to the altar where the glory falls down. Come take care of what's bound you. It could be an ideal. It could be a thought. It could be an impression. It could be busyness. And come to this altar and get released. And walk away glorious. Won't you come? And I'll pray with you. Don't wait around. Don't hold around. Don't hold back. Don't think about it. The Holy Spirit has revealed it, and you just come do it. God wants to do a work in your life. Let Him have it. Let Him control. Won't you come? You come, you want to see revival? Revival has to start in me. Won't you come? Give it to Him. Brother Travis. Come and get something. Amen. Come and get released somewhere. Won't you come?
Heads are still bound. Maybe, and I know He is, the Lord is working with you in some certain situation, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. Would you raise your hand and say, you know, Brother Tim, the Lord's working on me in a certain situation. Thank you for that hand, anymore, that hand. Heavenly Father, we do thank You today. And Lord, Lord, you release my burden and your word. And Lord, your word has went forth and it will not go out void. Lord, and Holy Spirit, encourage the ones that have raised their hands. Holy Spirit, make yourself evident and powerful in their life. Lord, release the bondage and the things that bind them. Lord, help them to know they can't do it in their own strength. It's not by power, not by might, but thy Spirit, saith the Lord. Lord, help them to be open to the Holy Spirit. And give them the courage and the willpower to follow through. Blessing on your word and all that's heard. In Christ's name we pray.